I am focusing on the prayers in the scriptures that the apostles prayed for all God's children. The prayers that the apostles prayed for us that are recorded in the Word of God, they're timeless treasures. The prayers that they prayed for us are not things concerning temporal issues, but they prayed for us, beloved, that we would come to realize deep spiritual realities that would supercharge our lives with the power of God's Spirit and by His Word. For several weeks now, we've been in the book of Colossians, focusing on a prayer that Paul prayed, beginning there in Colossians 1, verse 9, and going through the 12th verse. I'm going to continue in that prayer today. I'm going to read it from the beginning, but then I'm going to continue to expound upon where I left off with last week. I'm not going to go and review all that I've covered in the various weeks. I encourage you to get this entire series. There'll be information at the end of the broadcast today in terms of how you can get the series and where you can get it. Beloved, join me now as we turn to the Word of God. Father, we worship You today. We love You. And Father, we say to You today that we receive Your Word implanted and ingrained into our souls and into our lives in Yeshua's name. Reading now, beginning in verse number 9. For this reason, Paul says, also since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. I left off last week talking about the fact that when we're strengthened by the power of the Spirit, we live lives of supernatural joy. I remember years ago in the 1980s. It was several years after I got saved. I had known the Lord for a few years. I dropped out of college and I was working as an apprentice for a plumber. And I was just, you know, I was so hungry for the Word of God. I was so hungry for God. I was going to churches all over the city. Every night I would go to a different church where there was a meeting going on. I mean, when Jesus came into my life, He gave me a brand new life. He gave me a brand new beginning. He gave me purpose. He gave me meaning. I was on an adventure. And I was working for this plumber, and the plumber that I was working for, he happened to be Jewish. He was a traditional Jew that didn't believe in Jesus. And he saw me happy all the time. I mean, I was coming, sitting next to him in the truck. He was driving. I was just the apprentice. I was the flunky. I was the guy that was just digging ditches and doing all the grunt work. But I was happy. And I think it frustrated him that I was happy. He was the one that was making the money. He was the one that had the important assignment. He was the one that was the boss, but he was upset and angry, and I was happy every day. And one day he called me, listen, a happy moron. I loved it when he called me a happy moron. It made me so happy that I was happy just because I had Jesus. You see, when we receive Jesus, we receive a supernatural joy. Jesus comes and lives inside us, and the Bible describes Jesus as the one that is anointed with gladness above all His fellows. So when we're filled up with the fullness of God, the overflow is that Jesus's joy will emanate from our lives. Now I realize as a human being that life ebbs and flows, that some days we feel better than other days. But as I ended last week, I made the point that people that have learned to live in joy do so not because they in the natural feel tremendously happy every day, but they've cultivated an attitude of gratitude, which I'm going to talk about in a second. They're strengthened with the Holy Spirit, so they're able to live above circumstances and feelings, and because they're committed to the Word of God, and they realize that we don't have a right to walk around complaining, because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And the scripture says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So we choose to be happy. There's a man that many of you have heard of that is revered in many circles. His name is Smith Wigglesworth. He lived about 100 years ago. And somebody asked him one time, why are you so happy every day? And he said, the reason I'm happy every day is because when I wake up in the morning, I don't ask myself how Smith Wigglesworth is feeling, but rather instead, I look to the Creator. I see His glory. I see His light. And I make a decision to dance before Him. You see, he learned the ability of how to walk in joy on water by refusing to let his emotions or his humanity dictate how he would be. Instead, he came into covenant with God, recognizing that God deserves to be praised, that as those that he loves and has redeemed, as those that have been given the gift of life, been given breath, our only response to him should be gratitude and joy. And so when we're strengthened, beloved ones, by God's Spirit, we come into the revelation of this supernatural truth that I'm proclaiming right now. And we make a decision of the will, because we have the strength to do so, to rejoice before him. Listen what Paul says as he continues here. He says, joyously, and then going to verse number 12, giving thanks to the Father. You see, I had mentioned that these two, living a life of joy and gratitude, are closely connected. We've heard of the attitude of gratitude. And that's a good phrase because being thankful, having an attitude of gratitude, really is a choice because it depends on what we're going to focus on. And the enemy is always trying to bend our minds to focus on the negative. Think about it. Something happens to you in life. For example, let me use myself as an example. Let's say that I bring a word, and I want you to know sincerely, beloved ones, that love this ministry and that believe in me, the engine in me that brings forth the word is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. I don't need an audience. In fact, right now, I'm looking into a lens. I'm looking at you by the supernatural grace of God through the Spirit through the television. But as I'm recording right now in the studio, there's no audience here. So the thing that the engine in me is God's Word. But just consider this for a second. If I preach a message and I don't look for anybody to say anything to me, that's the truth. I'm not looking to preach a message so that people will pat me on the back. I say that before the Lord. I'm never looking for that. When I preach to the Lord. But let's say that I preach a message and 10 people come up to me and they say, oh, Rabbi, that message really helped me. Rabbi, that message really touched me. God really used that message in my life. Thank you. If 10 people come up and say that to me, but one person complains about it, one person finds something in it that they criticize or find fault with, the devil would try to make me focus on the one person that had a criticism rather than the 10 people that were helped by it. You see, living joyfully and thankfully depends on what are we going to focus on. And what the devil wants to do is he wants to make you and I focus on the negatives in our life rather than rejoicing and being thankful for all the positives. And so oftentimes, the positives so far outweigh the negatives, but the enemy deceives us and bends our minds because we're not standing up straight in the Spirit and causes us to focus on the negative. And if we start focusing on the negative and start complaining about the negative and start talking about the negative, it's gonna bring us down into a spiritual funk and it's gonna bring everybody around us down. So I wanna say to you today, let's not let the devil allow us or cause us to focus on the negative. We don't have to focus on the negative. The result of being strengthened by the Holy Spirit is that we can focus on the truth. We can focus on the fact that there's life that we're living that is building us up. In other words, the Bible says, nothing is lost when we're living for the Lord. Everything is working together. All things are working together, beloved ones, in your life to build you up and to transform you into the image of the Lord and the Lord's Son. So there's nothing to complain about because everything that's happening, God is using for good in your life. So the Lord says, I want you to live joyfully before me. And I want you to live thankfully before me. Because in so doing, you'll fulfill my will for your life. So, beloved, let's right now come into covenant with God that we recognize that His will for us is to live before Him joyfully and thankfully. Let's make a decision that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to live joyfully and thankfully. We're going to cultivate this attitude. We're going to cultivate being thankful for all the good things in our life, not focusing and complaining about the bad things, but thanking Him for all the good things. And as we do this, beloved, we're going to find that we're going to get happier and more full of the joy of the Holy Spirit that Jesus gives us. But we've got to be in cooperation with the Lord. Paul said, I pray that the Holy Spirit would give you a spirit of revelation and understanding and the knowledge of His will, so that you would be strengthened in Him. And as a result of this, Paul said, you're going to live joyously before Him, giving thanks to the Father, and continuing in verse number 12, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. As we close this section, I want you to focus on these words. There's an inheritance. You see, we can live joyfully and thankfully. We can live with an attitude of gratitude for so many reasons. One of which is, beloved, one of which is we have an inheritance. Listen again. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share, get this now, in the inheritance of the saints in the light. Listen to me. Please, listen to me. When Jesus gave His life for us, when He hung on the cross for you, and He did it for you. He didn't do it for Himself. He did it for you and for me. When those nails went through His hands, when the nails went through His feet, when they ripped His beard out, when they spit on Him, when they plucked His hair out, when they put the spear in His side, that was all done for you. And when He did that for you and I, when He gave His entire life, not a little of it, He didn't just give His pinky, He gave us His entire life, all of it, totally poured out for you and I. He gave His life, beloved, in order that you and I could receive God Himself as our inheritance. When you and I received Jesus, we received in Jesus, listen to me, an inheritance. Ephesians chapter 1 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, get it now, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You and I have an inheritance. Yes, it starts with being forgiven. It starts with, quote, getting saved. But that's just the beginning. That's just the door that we enter through. There's so much more that we have. We have an inheritance. We can live in power. We can live in peace. We can live in prosperity. We can live in joy. We can live in victory. We can live in health. We have an inheritance. And in order for us to live in this inheritance, we have to have wisdom and an understanding of what it is so that by faith we can take it into our life. You see, that's how Paul's prayer begins. That you and I, in this first chapter of Colossians, Paul prayed, would receive from the Lord, Paul said, knowledge and understanding of His will. And included in this knowledge and understanding of His will is the understanding that we have an inheritance. But some people have an inheritance, listen to me now, that's never been claimed. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank of money that's been left to loved ones. In other words, people have passed away. Their money is in the bank waiting for it to be claimed by a loved one who is to be the recipient of it, but the loved one has never gone to the bank to claim the money, and that's a fact. And the same is true in the Lord. Jesus has everything for you and I that we could live life in completeness. The Bible says He's granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. What do I mean by life and godliness? Jesus said, I've come to give life and to give it more abundantly, that we could reign in this world in Christ Jesus, that our life would be victorious and successful, full of light and shalom and love and power and dominion and peace and prosperity in every way as we seek God first and by faith take all that He's purchased for us into our life. You see, Jesus showed who He was when He came. He breathed on His disciples after He rose from the dead, and He said, "My peace I give to you. Receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus prayed. He said, "Father, I give them my joy." Jesus said, "Father, that they would share in my glory." Jesus came down from the Sermon on the Mount, and then He healed them all physically. And then Matthew quotes Isaiah chapter 53, that this physical healing came to us because of Jesus' crucifixion. You see, He's purchased for us peace and power to be able to live lives of fullness and glory and abundance, and even in physical health. This is our inheritance in the light, that old things have passed away, that Jesus has redeemed us. He's saved us from a life of defeat, from a life of sickness, from a life of lack, from a life of poverty, from a life of want. Jesus has delivered us from that life of darkness, and He's brought us into His marvelous light. And in the light is everything, peace and power and love and health and shalom and victory and soundness of mind, health. All these things are of the light, freedom. But we have to believe that these things are ours in order to take what Jesus purchased for us and to make them our experience. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, beloved, His death on the cross was sufficient, listen to me now, His death on the cross was sufficient to forgive every man, woman, and child ever born. His blood is sufficient to forgive the sin of the entire world. But not everybody that has lived on planet Earth or is alive right now has been forgiven. Why? Because they never came to receive from Jesus what could have been theirs. You see, Jesus purchased for you all these things that I've just described. They're your inheritance. But you've got to be convinced by God's Word that these things that I've proclaimed are your inheritance. And being convinced by His Word that they are your inheritance, you then have to claim them by faith. And as you claim them by faith, truly believing that Jesus, by His blood, purchased these things for you, you will begin to experience them. They came to Yeshua, and they said to Him, "Lord, what must I do to do the works of God?" Jesus said, "Believe on Him whom God has sent." You see, beloved, Jesus has paid the price. He's already purchased it. And like that woman of old that said, "If I just touch Him, I'll be healed," you and I need to understand that if we'll reach out and touch Jesus through the hand of faith, everything that He's purchased for us in His blood, we will receive into our lives. I love you today. I speak God's shalom over your life. The Bible says, "In Him you've been made complete." Beloved, I encourage you today, take a hold of the Word of God. There is no other way. God is saying to you and I today, seize my Word and don't let anything else in.